This morning is kind of cool and like has all potential in the world to be just a big train wreck, just to be honest with you, because it's what has happened is, you know, and we've been kidding around about, you know, the Philippian series is just keeps on going and keeps on going. Well, this past week, you know, last weekend, if you weren't with us, you should go listen to the podcast from last week. And I don't always say that, but this last week we talked about, you know, contentment. We talked about Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13. And verse 13 is this, you know, is this passage, you know, that we all know very well. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so, you know, just the idea of that. Well, if you were here last week, I probably the way I taught that passage of scripture, I told Locks after the service that day, I was like, I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard a pastor teach that passage of scripture and verse 13 not be the focal point of the passage. But it wasn't. And honestly, it was just because God was speaking in my heart so strongly about verses 11 and 12 and some of the other stuff going on there. And so, but the truth is they helped set up a proper understanding for verse 13, because verse 13 is one of those verses, you know, this, I can do, you know, all things through him who strengthens me. Is one of those verses that if we're not careful, we take that verse and we make it what we want it to be, and then we just go, you know, go and, you know, try to conquer the world for ourselves, for, you know, what we want, and we have this little, you know, nifty little verse that says, oh, I can do anything, you know, God. And the truth is that's not what that verse is for. And that verse in that passage that we studied last week, it showed us that we are called to be content in all situations. You know, and it's just crazy to think about that. You know, and that's not just a financial thing, but that's just, it's situations in general that, you know, your spouse is, you know, on their deathbed, or you've just lost a child, or, whatever. You know, just think about, you know, in all kinds of situations. And we're called to be content. And the reason that we're called to be content in all situations is for the glory of God, is so that others could see Jesus in us. And, you know, I think for us this morning, I think as you know, what we're doing here this morning is basically I'm going back to verse 13 and I'm teaching verse 13, you know, so the joke of the series that keeps on going, it's still going, you know, because we're just prolonging it. I think that God really has some stuff to say to us. And so with this verse this morning, you know, I'm not interested in taking this verse and rallying around it and, you know, trying to make it something that it's not. In fact, talked about last week, talked against it last week, talking against it right now. What I do want to do is I want to look at this verse and I want to say, you know, if God wants to strengthen us to do things for his kingdom, how does he do that? How does he strengthen us? How does he strengthen us in the middle of suffering? How does he strengthen us in the middle of the storm? How does he strengthen us when we're so busy that life is so good that we're not paying attention to him? Because we don't need him right then, you know? It's like we treat him like an ATM machine. And so, you know, I think for us this morning to take this verse and ask the question, how does God strengthen us, I think is very important. And this morning, that's what we're doing. And so in doing so, you know, I think we have to identify, you know, I can do all things through him. You know, and who's the him? Well, I think the him is Jesus. You know, Paul's consistently talking about Jesus, talking about God. But I think that, you know, it's important for us to understand that the God is also three persons. And this morning we're going to hone in on another part of that three persons known as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that a lot of times we don't hone in on. In fact, he's probably the left behind guy. No pun intended. I think for us just to, you know, just get the understanding this morning that it's important for us to know how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Now, here's the thing. The church in general is scared of the Holy Spirit. And it's because of things like this. I have people come and they say, is your church a Spirit-filled church? And I say, yes, it's a Spirit-filled church. I know what they mean by that. I know what they're getting at. And you know, and it's usually the, you know, well, do you guys speak in tongues and all that kind of stuff? You know, and so it just, you know, creates this great conversation after I say yes, you know, and then they realize, oh, well, you guys aren't rolling up and down the aisles. No, we're not. We're just worshiping Jesus, and we don't have to roll up and down the aisles to worship Jesus. And nothing against anybody that wants to roll up and down their aisles to worship Jesus, but it probably wouldn't fit here. You know, what God is calling us to do is to have a biblical understanding of things like the Holy Spirit, and for us to understand that being Spirit-filled is that we should be led by the Holy Spirit. For example, Jesus, his ministry, you go back and look at Jesus, go back and study the life of Christ, you will see that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus through his ministry. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. Where you say, well, how in the world does that work? Isn't Jesus God and the Holy Spirit is God and Father, you know, God the Father? You know, they're all God, right? Yes, three in one. Three persons, but still one, okay? Not separate from me. You know, it's this crazy thing, I know. We won't get it. I keep studying it, but we won't get it until we get to heaven, I'm pretty sure. And it's one of those things that I'm sure it's gonna blow my mind. And I don't know if God's gonna, like, you know, bust into like a transformer or something, and he's like, God the Father, God the Son. I don't know. Sorry. My childhood coming back there, a little Optimus Prime for you, but no, you know, I think for us, I think that we've got to understand that God is all three persons, and all three persons are just as important to be known as God, but they each have different roles. They each have different job descriptions, and I'm not trying to make them individual people because they're not. They're all still God, okay? But they have different job descriptions. And the Holy Spirit has a job description unlike some of the others. In fact, its job description really is to kind of be a little bit more into the background, you know? And I think this is challenging to us because, you know, when you know, if we're real honest with ourselves, we want to be, we're people, we're humans, we're sinful. Our sinful nature wants to be recognized. We want to be recognized for stuff. If I had to ask you this question, if you did something this week that was important, but you know that nobody on the planet knows that you did it, chances are that happened for you this week. There was probably something you did this week. It was probably a really important thing you did. But nobody came to your office, your living room, your whatever, and showed up and said, that was a great job. Thank you for doing that. That was awesome. Thank you for picking those things up off the floor so that your children didn't fall and bust their heads wide open. That excellent job, Mom. Thank you for doing it. That's not happening, right? But the truth is that our nature is that we want to be recognized. We want to be recognized. I mean, this is just part of who we are. You know, part of it, you know, just kind of even throw a little piece of me out there, you know, and we were kidding about this earlier because Loxie bit his tongue before the first service, like really bad, like blood, and I mean, it's just nasty, and he's like showing us in a lamp back there, and you know, I don't know, I'm getting detail, but you know, and so we were like kidding around, and he goes to the bathroom, and I was like, oh gosh, I don't want to go solo, and I was like, hey, I'll go do it. I used to lead praise and worship. I used to travel around and do college groups and student groups and stuff, And I was making a joke about it then, and I probably really wasn't that great. But in my heart, I felt like I was good. And I'll be, and this is, I'm telling you this to tell you this, telling you that to tell you this. There's a sinful nature side of me that when doing that, when I look at that and that, I have memories of me struggling with the difference between glorifying God and performing for people and wanting to be recognized for a talent. And you go, well, Chris, you mean that could be true for your preaching. I got to tell you, it can't be true for my preaching because I'm not that great of a preacher, okay? And I have to just completely honest, not trying, this is not false humility, I'm just being completely honest. Like, I have to completely rely on Jesus every week to be able to pull this off. And weeks I go away, I'm just like, oh, I'm an idiot. I completely jacked that up. But thank you for the grace of God. You know, and I think for us to understand that even as a piece of who God is, that there is one piece of God that is called to be back here in the background. And that's a huge thing. And I know we have Christ in his humble example as a human being, but even this peace of God should challenge us who the Holy Spirit is, that he is in the background doing the things that the Father has commanded him to do. He is under instruction by the Father and under the authority of Jesus the Son. I mean, this is crazy. So they've got these different kind of job descriptions going on. And so the Spirit is never, never up in the front like, hey, look at me, I'm great. You know? Never. It's never happening. And so there are churches, you know, and I'm not interested in blasting anybody this morning or whatever, but you know, there's churches and people that if we're not careful, we get so into the Holy Spirit that we've made it about the Holy Spirit. And it's never about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's main purposes in life, two things, to carry out the work of the Father and to glorify Jesus. That's it. That's it. Now, there are things that the Holy Spirit is going to do to help strengthen us along the way, but they're always, it's for this purpose. It's working out, carrying out the work of the Father and glorifying the Son, Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. And so you go back to, you know, Scripture, and you see the Holy Spirit doing several things along the way to strengthen us. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He strengthens us. Jesus strengthens us through the Holy Spirit. So the him is Jesus. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But Jesus uses the Holy Spirit, instructs the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Case in point, Jesus comes. Holy Spirit leads him through his ministry, through his life. He gets ready to go and be with the Father. Jesus has left the building, but before he leaves the building, what's he do? He gives to us the Holy Spirit. Looks at the disciples, says, guys, guess what? Christmas has come. I am leaving with you in your heart the same power of the Holy Spirit that has been with me all through my ministry. You now too can be used by God to do great things for his glory and for his kingdom. And that's it. That's the key. You know, and that's why this verse isn't about like, you know, I'm going to use this verse to go win my hockey game today. You know, yeah, there may be chances to preach the gospel in your hockey game and things like that. Yeah, absolutely. That applies. But as far as like us trying to conquer the things that we want for personal gratification, personal glorification, that's not what that verse is for. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's about us saying, Jesus can get me through. You got to remember all this stuff in this letter that we've just been talking about. By the way, chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, if you're in a rough time in your life, ought to be the chapter that you go to. It might very well be one of the most encouraging chapters of Scripture in the Bible, because you got a guy like Paul, and this is believed maybe to be his last letter that he ever wrote, and he wrote it from prison, and yet in the midst of writing it from prison, he is encouraging believers to follow Jesus. And he's saying things like, no matter what's going on, you can be content in any situation because of Jesus who strengthens us. And no matter what, you can think on good things, great things, godly things. Focus on those things. Don't worry. Don't be full of anxiety. Focus on Jesus. Focus on God and what he's done. Remember the cross. He's constantly pointing back to Jesus. Well, this morning, I've got like 50 million verses I want to take you through. We didn't get through half of them in the first service, and I think it's okay. I think it's okay. But what I want to do is I want to paint a picture for us this morning of who is the Holy Spirit, what is his purpose, what is he doing, how can I be aware of who he is and how he's working in my life. And I think that Scripture gives us some very basic things. So I want to jump right in. Romans 8. If you got a Bible, turn to Romans 8. I know we're doing Philippians 4. 13, but we're just doing that one verse there, and we'll keep coming back to that. If you don't have a Bible, throw your hand up. We got some ushers that'll bring you one. If you don't own one, you can keep it. It's a present from us. Just throw your hand up, keep it up there. They're coming with those Bibles right now. Let them throw a Bible at you, okay? Don't be afraid. Just throw it at them, all right? Everybody can catch. Romans 8, and by the way, all of the whole chapter of Romans 8 is just full of talking about like what the Spirit is doing. I mean, it's just interweaved. If you could just go through like a highlighter and just catch the word Spirit, not really read it, and then go back and read it and see how the Holy Spirit is working through things. Just amazing, that passage of Scripture. But Romans 8, verse 15 says this. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." This passage of Scripture starts off right there in the very beginning, verse 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery," small s. "You did not receive the spirit of slavery," not talking about the slavery, but the spirit there, small s, "of slavery, to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption," big S, okay? Catch the difference there. Paul is making a differentiation, and he's saying that, you know, when this happened in your life, you did not, when you came to Jesus, you know, what happened here, the Spirit of God moving in your heart and in your life that you received was not a spirit of slavery. And what he's saying is you're not still some slave to sin. You're freed from that. Knowing Jesus, being forgiven of our sins, we're free from our sin. Sin no longer has a hold on us. If you're a believer and you know Jesus, you don't ever let Satan sell you on the lie that you have a sin in your life that you will never overcome. Yeah, maybe you personally will never overcome it, but God can overcome that sin because you are no longer a victim of that sin. You are no longer a slave to that sin. It does not own you. You can do away with it. The power of the Holy Spirit's a big deal. And he's saying, you know, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear that you have to. And again, this even goes with what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, that you'd be anxious and worrying, all this stuff. You fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so there's this assurance that comes with the Spirit that we belong to God. We belong to God. That's good. That's good stuff. I need that assurance. I need to be reminded of that some days. I need to be reminded some days that I'm no longer a slave to my sin. It does not own me. This passage shows us that there are points in life where the Holy Spirit gives special revelation. That the Spirit speaks into our lives. And in this particular instance, that we can be assured that we belong to God. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. But let me help you understand something. The deal with this whole idea and this understanding of special revelation that the Holy Spirit speaks to people's hearts, I think is very important for us to understand a very good and biblical view of this, okay? Because this is one of those things that people are going to just take and they just run down the road with it. And they say, well, you know, God has spoken to me, and it is a new book of the Bible, and it should be a part of the Bible because it came from God. Let me just tell you what, anytime you hear somebody say that to you, run the other way, all right? Because here's what we understand about Scripture. We understand from Scripture that this thing is finished. This is done. This is God's word. This is his will for our life. That's very important for us to understand. And you may, I know we live in the South, a lot of people go, oh, well, every church believes that. Every church does not believe that. Don't fool yourself into thinking that. We wouldn't have to go that far probably to find churches that don't believe that near here. This is God's word. God, the Holy Spirit, is not going to give anybody some revelation that is contradictory to the word of God. It's not going to happen. God's not going to contradict himself by telling somebody, well, you know, I think that you should go and start, you know, killing all these people. It's just a bunch of junk. It's crazy people, part of cults and all this stuff. I mean, you know, and I know that we kind of get that, we understand that, but the truth is that it comes through in small ways too. So if somebody comes up to you and they say, well, you know, I think that God is leading us to do, I don't know, make up something within the church, you know, fire the pastor, that's a good one, you know. God's leading me to, you know, get a group of people together and fire the pastor. Okay, well, cool. Why is God leading you to do that? Would be my first question, whether it's this church or another church. And they'd say, oh, well, you know, God just really leading me to do it. Well, then I'd go, my next question would be, is he done something immoral? Is he not teaching the word? Is he, you know, not pastoring the church well? Is he not honoring his family, ministering to them well? What's, there's got to be a biblical reason for it. Well, no, I just feel led to do it. Wrong. Okay. And it goes with anything. It goes with anything. We've got to pay attention. These are people that are wolves in sheep's clothing. They want to use this whole idea, you know, that the Holy Spirit does, you know, give special revelation to people, speaks into people's hearts. You know, he does. And you know what he does it for? The glory of Jesus. That's it. So if the special revelation that you have received comes in the form of, I think that you should, you know, go and do something stupid, you know, or whatever, that's not from God, okay? That's like the hot wings you ate yesterday or something else going on inside you, all right? It's not from God, because the Holy Spirit has only two intentions in its being and purpose, and that is to carry out the work of the Father and to glorify Jesus. That is all. That is all. We see the Spirit work in different ways. We see the Spirit do the special revelation thing. We also see the Spirit empower people to proclaim Christ. I want to talk about that. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says this. It's just one verse. Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Bam. Love that. You know what I love about this? Is because this is us right here. We know that God is calling us to talk about Jesus with people, to share Jesus with people. What are we doing? We're scared to death of it. We're putting it off. It's so funny. I had somebody call me this week, and they were so bent on needing to meet with me, to talk to me about something that somebody had said or done that they felt like was hurtful. And I looked at them. I said, "I've got a busy week. If you want to talk about it, let's talk right now." We talked for a few minutes. It really didn't need a meeting. It was like, we got this done in like 5 minutes. Thank you for, you know, not having to meet. And then later in the week, I talked to them on the phone, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days later. I said, "Hey, have you gone to that person and talked to them about that thing that's so important?" "Well, no, I just haven't had time." I was like, "You wanted to meet with me about it, and now it's not important enough for you to go and do what you knew that you were supposed to do." But this is us. We get afraid of confrontation. And the thing is that God is calling us to proclaim the gospel. But here's what we do. We say things like, I don't know enough. I don't know enough about that. Listen, I know dudes that could tell me the height of a mud tire if I told them the size that it was. Off the top of their head. Some of you go to church here. If we have the capability of remembering the heights of B.F. Goodrich mud tires, then I am pretty sure that we have the capability of understanding who Jesus is, what he did, and what he can do for other people. And for us to remember, we can't make it about us. We can't make it about all about us, like what I know, what I can do. You see what that verse says? "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit goes before, works in their hearts. He's the one that's going to call them out. We don't do that. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. God saves people. All we do is just present the truth, and we just love them. And we don't go like barreling, beating them over the head and everything else, you know, with the Bible. Listen, you know that. So don't be afraid. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be, this is all tying back in with what Paul's already been talking about in this letter. And he's saying, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You don't think he didn't fall into these same sins that we do? Of course he did. And when it's saying that we will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that it will come upon us and that we can take the gospel to all of those places, it's saying that the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of the process. We can't just count him out. God wants to work in us and through us. Which leads me to next piece, John 3. John chapter 3, verse 4. Had this conversation this week with somebody, and they said to me this. They said, Chris, how do I know if I'm saved? This is a great question, by the way, and I get this a lot. And their concern was this. They said, I can't point back to a moment in my life. And she said, I've heard you talk about, you should be able to point back to a moment in your life where you received Christ as your Savior. And I said, sure. I said, well, tell me what you mean by you can't point back. And she's like, well, I don't have the date memorized and the time, And she's like, I'm pretty sure, that I know Jesus. And here's the way this works, and we're about to read this. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. We don't wake up one morning and just go, I'm going to be a Christian today. I'm just going to go be a Christian. There's more going on than that. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, calls us in, and what? And glorifies Jesus. Starts showing us Jesus. We start remembering the cross. We start remembering what Jesus has done. He's playing a part in revealing to us what Christ has done on the cross to forgive us of our sin. And that through that we can know Christ, that we can have a relationship with God. I mean, this is a huge deal. We make more out of it than it really is. But the thing is that the Holy Spirit plays a part of this, and we see clearly in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is the one that calls upon us to do this. In fact, I want to look. John 3, verses 4 through 8. It says this. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear it sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We have to recognize that the Holy Spirit plays a part of our regeneration. Holy Spirit doesn't save us. You go, well, Holy Spirit's God. God saves us. Yes, I'm with that. But it is because of the sacrifice that Jesus made. It is because of his obedience to the Father. And it's because of the Father's plan that we are saved. The message of the gospel is the story of God. It's the story of all creation. God made the world, made man. We were idiots, we sinned, we have a life of sin, we're separated from God because of our sin, and God sends his Son to do what we could not do, which was pay the debt that was owed for our sin and forgave us through sacrificing the perfect lamb on a cross. He died, he rose again to prove that he was the real deal, and to solidify his ministry, and to explain a few more things about how important it is that we follow him and that we follow hard after living out a life that is glorifying to God. The Holy Spirit comes along, speaks to our hearts, tells us that story. out of that story, we respond one way or the other. We either reject God or we say, I'm on. I believe in what Jesus has done. I want to be full on. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I put my faith in him. He forgives me of my sin, no matter what I've done in my past, no matter how bad it might have been, no matter what I might end up doing in the future even. But he doesn't do so that I would continue to live in a life of sin. He does so that I would continue to live a life that glorifies God, making him famous. Funny thing is that this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit exists to glorify Jesus. We exist to glorify Jesus. We can be a part of God's story, but either we choose to do so or we reject it. People say, well, that sounds harsh. I mean, it's just true. I don't mean it to sound harsh, but it's the truth. Nicodemus, in this story right here, comes to Jesus with this question. You know, what is this I got to be born again thing? Jesus, am I supposed to go back into my mom? Is that what you're saying? Jesus is like, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about your moms, okay? All right? I am talking about something that happens when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and makes clear to you how desperately you need me. So it's not this decision we just wake up one morning and decide that we're going to do. It might be if the Spirit is speaking to us that morning and we're like, man, I'm just convicted all over the place. I need to follow God. I need to follow Jesus. And then we do that, and that's fine. But the truth is that the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. We respond to that. He's a part of the process. We've got to recognize that, and we've got to recognize it for this reason. We don't need to reject God when he is speaking to our heart through the Holy Spirit. Believer, if you're a Christian, don't reject the conviction that God is putting on your heart for the sin in your life. Kill it. Kill the sin. Walk away from it. Let God have victory over it. You are not a slave to it. Quit thinking that you are. Quit thinking that you were just born this way and your attitude is just like this because it is. Junk. It's a bunch of junk. We make excuses for what we want to do and who we want to be outside of who God has called us to be. We can't do that any longer. We've got to walk away from those things and be who God is calling us to be. The thing that I told the lady that asked me this week, you know, about, she was kind of sure, pretty sure about her salvation. You know, I kind of, well, you know. I don't remember a time. I was like, look, I said, you know, I'm not saying you got to have the date memorized, time memorized, whatever. I said, why would you ever want to doubt? Why would you ever want to doubt? Is our pride that enormous that we would just go, well, I'm just going to go through the rest of my life doubting whether or not I really know Jesus, when you could just be sure of it today? Because you've been to church all your life? Is that what you got? I've already been there and done that. I walked an aisle, made people happy, didn't want to go to hell as a kid, got wet, the whole bit. And then one day God spoke to my heart and said, Chris, you don't know me. You know a lot about me, but you don't know me. And it was at that point in my life when the Holy Spirit clearly spoke to my heart, and I knew, I mean, I just, I couldn't get away from it. I knew God was calling me to be his, and he was saying, come on and do it now. I got to tell you, I didn't reject God that day. I've done it a lot of times, but I didn't that day. And he has forever changed me for my responding to receiving Christ as my Savior, for me recognizing how desperately I needed him to save me from myself and from my sin. I needed that. And here's the thing. You may be here today, and you may be in that same boat, and maybe you don't know if you know Jesus, or maybe you know for sure you don't know Jesus. I just want to tell you that if God is speaking to your heart today about knowing him as your Savior, about you putting your faith in him to let him lead you, Don't push him away. Don't reject him. Listen to what God is saying to your heart. Another passage, Ephesians 3. I told you we got some passages. My countdown quit working a long time ago, so we're just going to keep going, all right? I'm just kidding. Ephesians 3 brings about another important piece of the puzzle. And there's a lot, listen, there's a lot of stuff that the Holy Spirit does. There's no way I could cover it all in one message. I'm just trying to cover some like really big stuff that I felt like had to specifically do, especially with understanding how God strengthens us in the moments of life when we need to be strengthened to do the things that he's calling us to do. But Ephesians 3 verse 14 says this. I love this passage. I love this passage. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What an unbelievable passage. This passage shows us some very basic things that we need to remember. And honestly, what it's doing is it's showing us just a glimpse into the process of sanctification. Now, I know that's one of those church words that we want to turn off. We want to like, you know, start thinking about lunch when we hear sanctification or something like that. Hang with me, okay? Sanctification is, this is all sanctification is. It is the process of God making us more like him after we know Christ. It's a process. We're all in the process. I look back 15 years ago on my life. I know that I am more like Jesus today than I was 15 years ago. I know that I am. I know that God is molding and shaping me. The further I get into this, the further I know him, the more I am like him. That is sanctification. Now, we can't do that outside of knowing Jesus. We have to know Jesus to be involved in that process. But this passage of scripture helps us to just see, just even a brief glimpse picture. It's like a prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened. We just talked about that. Remember the whole, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through what? Through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul is reminding us in this point right now. He is saying, don't forget that the same power that led Jesus exists within us if we know him. And is able to lead us, not just lead us, but in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength. There's strength again. There you go. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. I love the surpasses all knowledge, by the way. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What more could we possibly ask for? How could it possibly get better than that? The gospel lived out in our lives looks like that. That we begin to know every height and depth of who God is. And that in the process of doing so, he sanctifies us, making us more like him, changes us, molds us. You know, and here's the thing. And I used to do this all the time. I still do it sometimes. I make plans for my life. Make plans. All the people that make plans for their kids, those are the great ones. I love laughing at those people when the kids are like 18 years old. You know, but we do this and we think that we have like some total control going on of everything that's going to happen. And at the end of the day, the truth is that it's not about our plans. We should have one plan I'm not saying you don't plan, you know what I'm saying, but you know, we should have one major plan, and our major plan should be, how can we position our lives to glorify God? That no matter what, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the greatest of great things that could ever happen in our lives, that we would be seen as somebody who loves Jesus, who's been saved by the cross. That's what our life is for. And the Holy Spirit, very similarly, his existence to be obedient to the Father, carrying out his work by glorifying Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, if we had the Holy Spirit, if we could have the Holy Spirit come in as a special guest today, which hopefully he's here. I know he's here because I've felt him working through this message. But if we could have him on stage and put him in a chair and have a talk show with him and say, Holy Spirit, how would you like for us to glorify you? You know what he would say? He would say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He would say, I'm playing like 13th fiddle here. I'm not even that, you know, God just uses me. God just uses me. It's all about him and it's all about Jesus. Give him the glory. I want the people of our church to have a biblical understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. Because I think that it's important for us, and if for no other reason, that we would quit taking him out of the equation in things that God calls us to do. So that when God speaks to our heart and clearly leads and is guiding us and calling us to do something, instead of us going, well, I can't do that, we go, well, the Holy Spirit's going to have to help me with that one. And I'm going to step out on faith because I know God's calling me to do it. And I don't know what that is for you today. But I just want you to know, I want to encourage you that the Holy Spirit helps us, empowers us to do things that we couldn't ever do by ourselves. But not for our glory, not for the things that we want to do and accomplish in this life, to go make our $1 million or whatever it is. The Holy Spirit does that so that God would be glorified in our lives. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. This morning, as believers, we should be challenged by this. We should be challenged that we have a correct understanding of who the Holy Spirit is in our lives so that we can live by the Spirit, a true living by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. That's what it means to live by the Spirit. And it challenges me. For those of us that are here today, for those of you that are here today that don't know Jesus as your Savior, or maybe you're not sure if you know Jesus as your Savior. Listen, I'm not interested in any scare tactics. It's just not my thing. If God is speaking to your heart, listen to him. That's not me. That's not because it's that cold in here. It's not that cold in here, okay? God speaking to your heart, listen to him. And for all of us, when the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart, we need to listen to him. We see scripture where God even shows us that when some keep rejecting him over and over, that God finally says, okay, I tried. I'm going to give you over to your sin. You don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. We don't ever want to be there. We want the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we want to follow his lead, because his lead is always glorify Jesus, glorify Jesus, glorify Jesus. And that's what our life should be about. Let's pray together. God, I pray that God, you would, through the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to people that don't know you. God, that you would open blind eyes and awaken dead hearts God, the truth is I think there's probably some believers here today that probably feel like they have dead hearts right now because they just don't care. And God, you can convict them too, but they have to act on their behalf. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak into their hearts, that you would convict, that you would work. God, that if there's any person here today that doesn't know you or they're not sure about whether or not they know you, God, that they would settle that today. God, speak to their hearts, convict them. God, as believers, God, I pray that we would be convicted by the Holy Spirit and we would listen to those convictions, that we would kill those sins, that we would pursue being like you. God, that means knowing you more every day of our life. God, I pray, Lord, that we would just run for you. God, thank you for the opportunity we have to come and worship you and be in a church where we get clear representation of what it means in your scripture of who you are. God, we're not perfect. And God, you know that. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would make up the difference where we're not, as pastors, as a church. God, I just pray this morning, God, that you would above all be glorified. God, speak to our hearts. Show us who you want us to be. May we pursue you like we pursue the things that we really love in this world. Thank you.